Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jetta Cameron, John Rich, 94 WIP. All right, so reaction on this Philly story from Ken Rosenthal, interested in the Eagles. Did we overreact on the D? I believe we did. Let's welcome in our Eagles reporter. I don't know if he really has a title. Let's welcome in Elliot Shore Parks from the 94 WIP / Go Birds podcast. Do you have a title, Elliot?
The beat writer you need.
Beat writer.
Yeah, beat writer you need.
Beat writer you need. What is that nonsense? All right, so talk about giving yourself a name. All right, Elliot, the Eagles.
That's pretty good.
Pretty good, right?
It's okay. It's a little haughty, but, you know, what are you
going to do? Coming from you, Jeff. Coming from the hammer.
Uh-huh. Right. All right, Elliot, you heard the talk on WIP yesterday. Lots of real concern about the Eagles' defense yesterday. The more I thought about it later last night, I thought, boy, the reaction was a little too strong to the point of an overreaction. Do you think it was?
No, I don't think it's an overreaction. And the reason I think you separate the offense from the defense is coming into that game, there were legitimate concerns about the defense. There weren't so much about the offense. We thought maybe they'd be rusty. Carson, obviously, big question mark going into this year to a certain degree. But you knew that the skill was there on the offense. The defense, you didn't really know that was the case. They're going up against probably the worst offensive in the league in the Washington Redskins. And they looked bad. The cornerbacks struggled. I mean, the cornerbacks played in the preseason. This wasn't a rust thing. Sidney Jones played. Rasul Douglas played. Avante Maddox played. And they struggled against probably the worst set of receivers. So offensively, yes, you can say the first half is rust, and we all know what they did in the second half. But the concerns we had about the defense were there on Sunday. So I don't think it's an overreaction. Yeah.
Okay, so the cornerbacks struggled. How do you feel the defensive ends played?
So I think that the defensive ends got after Case Keenum in the second half. Derek Barnett had more pressures on Case Keenum in that game than any other defensive end in the league.
What is a pressure exactly?
It's when you get in the face of the quarterback and impact the throw.
James has a definition. James, why don't you hit us with the definition?
Yeah, so it's technically called a hurry, not a pressure, is the actual technical definition.
Well, you can say either one.
Yeah, but I'm just telling you when they define it. A quarterback hurry is counted when a defender either forces a quarterback out of the pocket or pressures the throw. It doesn't necessarily mean the defender actually forced the quarterback to make a bad throw. Hurries are often a good indicator of a team's pass rush, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. So no matter how you define it, Derek Barnett had more of them than any other defensive end in the league.
I don't know, man. Like, I feel as though I'm just thinking back. The picture I have in my head is Derek Barnett trying the speed rush and Donald Penn just taking him right where he wants to go, which is, you know, 5 yards past the quarterback upfield. And then Case Keenum sort of just shuffles up to kind of get out of the way, but not really under duress. I wonder if those are being counted as pressures in this case. The bottom line is, and it's not, I feel like I'm singling out Derek Barnett here. I wanted more from him.
Well, I want more from Graham,
but
also.
It's not just him. Well, exactly. Hey, Brandon Graham, I expected to see the Brandon Graham that we saw against the Saints.
And he's getting paid a lot of money now.
Sure is.
A lot of money. And we love Brandon Graham, and we appreciate Brandon Graham, but, you know, that wasn't even close to dominance.
And Vinny Curry.
I mean, 100%.
Great job against the run, Vinny, but that's what we thought we'd get. How about a little more expanded pass rush repertoire after a year away? Or, you know, like, I need more.
Yeah.
So I 100% agree with you. What I was going to say was even with those pressure stats, I did not think the defensive line was that great overall. There were portions of the game where you could say they made an impact, but overall, going against, again, a very bad offensive line, they weren't that great. And it was a concern coming into the season. And I think this Malik Jackson loss is way bigger than people are giving it credit for.
Absolutely.
I think it's under the radar a little bit.
He's playing D end for us in the nickel.
He was their biggest free agency signing.
Yes, he was.
He was their priority. They signed him like the first day, like the first minute.
I thought getting him was a bigger deal than getting DeShaun. And I said it.
Yeah.
Now, maybe I'll be
DeShaun's
proven wrong.
DeShaun's more exciting.
More exciting. But I thought, you know, let's put it this way. Talk on WIP. DeShaun Jackson, 97% of conversation compared to 3% for Malik Jackson. But exactly. I actually think Malik Jackson's a better player than DeSean Jackson.
Well, and Richie mentioned it, but the reason it's such a big loss is because he not only impacts them at defensive tackle, and yes, he moves to defensive end, but part of the reason they felt so comfortable getting rid of Michael Bennett and allowing Chris Long to essentially retire is because they were going to have Malik Jackson on the field on third down, so you didn't need to shuffle your defensive ends as much. Now, by losing Malik Jackson, not only are you thin at that position, you need more from your defensive ends, and you don't really have the depth there. We talked about Barnett and Graham. Josh Sweat had maybe one nice play. They didn't even play DeSean Hall. So the Malik Jackson loss is a big one, and he's going to be out a while.
And DeSean Hall, I would assume, will be active for this game because not only we all kind of think he deserves a shot, but with Malik Jackson out of the mix, he is going to need to be in there. We need another body in this rotation.
I don't think he's going to be active.
Really?
I think they're going to bring in a defensive tackle either through the practice squad or maybe a free agent. Bruce Hector is on the practice squad. But you can't go into a game with only three healthy defensive tackles. Because then if one were to go down with even a minor injury, you're then down to only two. So DeSean Hall should be active, I agree, but I don't think that's the route they'll go.
Wow. Well,
That makes sense what you're saying there, Elliot. By the way, and I know it's not the position where the injury happened, but this does make me think, do you start calling Chris Long and say, we're willing to give you two things that maybe we weren't willing to give you before?
Saying Chris
Long? Because he's a pretty good player.
Was when he was preparing to play football the entire offseason. This entire offseason, he's been actively losing weight and writing. And not working out.
He just started a podcast. Maybe he's not he'll come playing. Back, but I would be surprised.
Looks completely different. No. Look at the guy. He's lost weight.
You're talking about for 2 months from now to get him right for November. I don't know. I mean, I'm just saying, to me, I would not say it's a non-option. I got to consider it as
a non-option.
Oh, I don't agree with that.
I would also say this, that even if they add Chris Long, and I don't think they will, the biggest takeaway to me with this defense is the talent discrepancy between the Eagles' defense and defenses like the Dallas Cowboys and the Minnesota Vikings, Chicago Bears, it's massive.
Sure is.
When you look at them this past week, the Minnesota Vikings' defense absolutely annihilated a Falcons' offense, which is way better than the Washington offense.
Totally.
Chicago obviously had a very good week. Dallas, the Giants' offense isn't that good, but they annihilated. You can say whatever you want. The Eagles' defense still give up 27 points to a really bad Washington defense.
All right, Elliot, it's a good point. Let's get to the Eagles' offense here for a moment. You may not have seen this because, of course, during the games, you're at the game. But on the TV, Charles Davis made the point at one point during the broadcast that this is when the Eagles' offense was struggling. You know what? The Eagles might have too many offensive options, and it may be throwing off the rhythm. And I will be quite candid. I also had the same thought around the same time. And I realized how ridiculous that probably is. Because, first off, you're going to have injuries, so you want to have a guy like Corey Clement to be able to step in if a guy gets hurt, right? You want to have Arcega Whiteside to step in if a guy gets hurt. And they're going to find their rhythm, and they did in the second half. How do you think Doug did putting the pieces together in the first game in conjunction with Carson's distribution of the ball? How do you think they did managing the pieces?
I thought they did great. I really did. Doug talked on his day after press conference about he thought Carson did a good job of taking what was there, even if that meant checking it down. I don't think he forced it to DeSean. I just think DeSean was open, and he was open down the field. He did a great job getting open in those intermediate routes. Look, you know, Ertz was still second on the team in targets. Aguilar, I think, got 5 targets, and almost everyone would agree he was a non-factor. So I don't think having too many weapons on the offense is an issue at all. I think Doug's a great game planner, and it does seem like they all genuinely get along, and that might sound corny, but that really matters when you're talking about distribution. I think that you won't find them fighting amongst each other about why I'm not getting enough targets. So I don't think it's an issue at all.
Brandon Brooks, totally okay. They were just precautionary with taking him out of the game?
Yeah, so he said after the game that he had a pitch count at about 30 snaps and he played 50, which to me is why? What? so much for the pitch count, right?
How long does that go for him and Darby? They take Darby out, he only plays 74% of the snaps. Obviously, a lesser player goes in there. How many weeks do we know that this is going to go for those guys?
Well, it sounds like it almost doesn't matter because he played twice the pitch count in week one, but I wouldn't think it would be very long. I think it's just early on kind of easing him in a little bit. And the Eagles are lucky in a way that they have so much skill at this roster. They're able to do that, but I think it would be 2 or 3 more weeks if that. I think it'll be short.
How will the backup, the running back distribution of carries go this week?
So Doug talked about it on Monday and said he always wants to use a backfield by committee. He believes it makes the running backs last longer through the season. It keeps them fresher on game day. So I think you'll continue to see a mixture of guys. I think Miles Sanders is going to be one. I think Darren Sproles is going to be two, and Jordan Howard's going to be three. That's, I think, they're like pecking order of combination of skill, trust, and just what investments they have in these guys.
Wow, Sproles
I
too.
Hope that that's wrong. That. Yeah. I hope that's wrong. Jordan Howard, to me, proved he deserves more touches. And when Doug talked, you know, after the game about the way that they decide beforehand, like, okay, so this play goes to this back, you know, during the week, right. That's the way they practice it. I feel like they will prioritize in the calling list, you know, like he has that big card, the big sheet. I think at the top of that sheet, you're going to have more Jordan Howard runs that are assigned to him this week because he's that good.
Yeah, but
he deserves more touches than eight.
So when you talk to Doug, but also when he was on with Angelo this week, I think it was the week before, actually, you could like hear him smiling through the phone when talking about Darren Sproles. Like Doug loves Darren Sproles. He trusts him. He likes the type of player he is. So I agree. You want to get Jordan Howard more touches. He looked good. But Doug is just always going to give Sproles the ball as long as he's healthy.
Is Clement in an okay space from what you can tell with a way reduced role, three plays?
You mean like, is he happy about it?
Is he happy?
To be honest, I don't have a read on that. Just I don't want to speculate.
Yeah, I understand.
But look, you know, I mean, he made the team, so he's got to be happy from that perspective. And it is what it is. It is. I mean, he was an undrafted.
It's just
agent.
An unusual thing. Guy stars in the Super Bowl. If not for Foles, maybe would have been the MVP of the Super Bowl.
Something Howie mentions when he
exactly. And then 2 years later, game one, three plays.
Yeah.
You know, not three touches, three plays. So
lining
you know.
Up at fullback twice, by the way.
Wow. Yeah, as a baker
yeah.
at fullback.
Elliot, good stuff, my man. We'll be following Elliot's work all season long. 94WIP.com/GoBirds. Thanks, Elliot.
Yep. Talk to you guys next week.
All right. 888-729-9494. Let's talk to David in North Philly. What's up, Dave?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hi.
All right, I got a couple things for you. NFL Week 1 is the biggest mirage in sports. Lamar Jackson looked like Patrick Mahomes. Not that he's a bad player, but he's not going to throw five touchdowns.
Right.
It's ironic we're talking about nostalgia. Let's be clear. This is an offensive team. That's what they're designed to be. Do I want them to be like the 89, 90, 91 Eagles, you know, with Reggie and Seth and stuff? Of course, but they don't have those players. And the last time that you really saw an infusion of players that made an impact like that, you have to get nostalgic and go back to Ray Rhodes. Because Ray Rhodes was the person that brought in those defensive players that really made Andy Reid shine. And we haven't had that. I mean, Fletcher Cox is the real deal. But, I mean, you look at the linebacker position, they haven't invested. I mean, they put a second-round pick in a once or twice or whatever. But you're not going to get that type of Baltimore Ravens defense if you're not investing first, second, and third-round picks in impact players that come in. They don't have those players.
Well, they build on lines. You're right. I mean, offensive and defensive lines is where most of their first-round picks have been. The Carson draft took a lot of picks away from them.
The problem is they've invested – like, Brandon Graham's a first-round pick, but he's not Clowney. He's been a very decent player, but he hasn't been of what was he drafted, 13th overall? Derek Barnett is drafted, 14th overall? They haven't performed the same way an offensive tackle that was drafted that high.
I'll tell you this. Brandon Graham's lived up to it. For all the talk, for all the years, for 5 years or whatever, about Earl Thomas, Brandon Graham has been a very worthy mid-first-round pick for the Philadelphia Eagles. He's been about a 10-year starter, man.
No, he's good.
I think he's really good.
Super Bowl, you know, his play, you know, made the Super Bowl. But I'm not going to sit there and say that.
I think
you were so. Let me change.
I don't think he's as good as Trent Cole was, but I think he's pretty good.
No, I think you are. I think you are taking into account the total package, like the guy that he is, the teammate that he is. When you weigh all that intangible stuff, he looks a lot better. But if we're basing this on just like sheer. Like numbers on the field, first round. I mean, you really think Brandon Graham?
You got a 10-year starter,
and for a number of those years, he was everyone was complaining
about
Brandon
Graham. For about three or four of those years, yes. Yeah. It was like near the end of Chip is when he finally got it going. Or the beginning of Chip, whatever it might have been.
I think Fletcher Cox has either three sacks, or he's either 3 to 5 sacks behind Brandon Graham. And he's a tackle, and Graham's in that nail game.
And he's played less years. All right, David,
which is incredible.
It is awesome. David, what makes you nostalgic?
The NFL films.
Oh, that's a good answer, man. That's a really good answer. NFL films, the old school stuff. Absolutely love that answer. Let's talk to T in Collegeville. Hey, T.
Good morning, Philadelphia and WIP listeners. In the 2019 overreaction bout, in the gray corner, we have on an average height with an average weight and a record of 100 wins, 12 losses, and one draw. Joe the Camera, the Hammer.
Yes, except I don't agree with the draw, but keep going, sir.
And in the green corner, with an NFL career that is revered by the Philadelphia Eagles fans as one of the greats, with number 48 in the green trunks, we have John, Mr. Bleak Green, Richie. And repping his bout, we have James, the Creator Seltzer. How y'all doing, man?
What's up, Creator?
See, a wonderful start.
Yeah.
I just wanted to talk about the overreaction, gentlemen, and see how you guys are doing.
Well, I think Joe is pulling back on his supposed overreaction yesterday, and that troubles me. I think he's turning a blind eye to a very real problem that we've got with this team right now.
And T, my thing is, I'm not saying there's not issues. I want to be clear about that. But I think the way we reacted as an entire fan base yesterday made it sound like these issues are, you know, almost like season crippling. And that's ridiculous.
No, you know what it is? It is season crippling when you get to the postseason. The other teams that we're talking about in the NFC that are worth their salt are more complete than the Eagles are right now. There's no doubt about it. And they played better teams in week one than we did.
Yeah. And what I have to say is there's a few points that I want to address. Is that, we hold high standards to Miles Sanders, you know, being a second-round pick and, you know, coming in and producing. As well as on the opposite end, you have Sidney Jones, we hold high standards to. Why don't, as the problem that we have on defensive line, in the 14th overall pick of Derek Barnett, hold him to just as high of standards? Why do we act like pressures is good enough?
Exactly. Okay? Thank you.
He was a 14th pick, Joe, in the draft. 14th. Did he produce so far as a 14th? That's why we're
Well, he missed most of last year. I mean, last year was all but a wash.
When the 14th pick, you need him this year.
You need him this year. There's no doubt.
He had four tackles and three hits.
Let me just finish. I'm saying you need him this year. And I said it before that if he was compared to Reggie.
Forget the Reggie White thing. I mean, the fact that he broke Reggie White's record, who cares? I mean, didn't Maurice, what was that guy's name in Philly? Maurice Rice? Didn't he break Wilt Chamberlain's record for points scored in high school basketball? I mean, come on.
I mean,
who cares?
It doesn't matter, but what I'm saying is if he's revered as such a great prospect, he needs to produce. People talk about the Eagles say that it's a prove-it year. Well, for me, Derek Barnett.
Oh, it's a prove-it year. That's fair. I'm just saying, let's stop the Reggie White thing. Give me what makes you – what makes you nostalgic?
What we all probably went through was the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance. Yeah. There you go. That's good stuff. Pledge of Allegiance. Was that the guy's name, Maurice Rice, who broke Wilt's record?
I can't remember.
You know? I mean, it's like, what the heck, man? I mean, who cares that Derek Barnett had more sacks? You know? I mean, some guy in North Carolina had more points in high school basketball than Michael Jordan. Okay.
His point is, when you're drafted 14th and you've got that level of, like, ballyhoo coming into the league, we want elite performance in your third year. His third year as a pro, I want more than quarterback hits. I want more than hurries. I want production that you can measure by a quarterback having grass stains.
Yeah.
And we didn't get that.
That's fair. I get it. 888-729-9494. All right, coming up at 11:30, John takes us inside the games, as we'll do every Tuesday, something X's and O's related, something perhaps we haven't dived into yet that stood out to John on the film. We'll hit that. Your phone calls as well. 12:45, Ross Tucker, busy show on a Tuesday. Joe to Cameron, John Rich on WIP.
At Supercuts, details matter. That's why they end every haircut with a signature hot towel finish, so you'll leave feeling clean and super ready to go. Every Supercut is finished with the signature hot towel refresher, where your stylist will clean off stray hairs from your face and neck so you can leave feeling clean, sharp, and ready to get back to your day. Supercuts expert stylists know how to get your cut just right every time, and you can save time by checking in online with the Supercuts mobile app. Download it now from the App Store or Google Play. It is so simple, and it is awesome. Take it from me. When it's time for a haircut, save time and check in online using their convenient mobile app or just go to supercuts.com. You won't wait in line. And when you're there, ask your Supercut stylist for the Tea Tree Experience today. Invigorating, relaxing. The Tea Tree Experience is something you've got to try. Find a location near you at supercuts.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.